is the number one commodity in the world that you can't get back once it's gone. Time. So I will keep this brief. I'm Mudita Panmu, a time efficiency expert and a business operations strategist who is as known as the Time Queen. Welcome to my Get Unstuck Radio. Running a business can be very overwhelming at times, especially in the first few years when you are required to wear the hats and do other things. You started your company because you had a vision that almost every business owner has when they begin. You wanted freedom, true freedom. So you are in the right place to help you build and grow your business that support your lifestyle, not the other way around. Without further ado, let's get unstuck. Hi, Get Unstuck Nation. So today, Robert Curry, he's a co-founder and CEO of Agile Rainmakers and High Impact Business Development Consulting and Advisory Firm based in Chicago's Gold Coast. So Rob has hired and mentored many interns over the years, and he has passion for ensuring their success. But not only that, though, he would like to make sure that our small business owner and online entrepreneurs also successfully managing intern as well. So please welcome Rob to Get Unstuck podcast today. I'm very excited for this topic though. So let's learn how we as a small business owner can leverage the internship, and the interns can also have their experiences so that they can intern successfully. So please welcome Rob to Get Unstuck podcast today. Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Really well. Thank you so much for hosting me.
Yeah, I'm very honored. And as I say, I'm very excited because, like, you know, first thing first, after we started a business as a solopreneur, of course, we're not going to think to hire, but we are going to looking for an internship because, like, we want to spend less, right? So that is something that on top of my mind, like, oh, why don't we just like finding an intern and like let them help us and they can learn something from us? Is that actually the right thing to do, in your opinion?
Certainly. I started Agile Rainmakers, and one of the first things I did was I hired an intern who did some really great work and helped me focus on certain things while he focused on other things. So yeah, that's a great idea. You know, they tend not to be as expensive. They want to learn and grow. They tend to listen to your instructions as someone superior. So yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big proponent of making sure you pay them. So, you know, don't do it unpaid, do it paid. And it's a wonderful opportunity for everybody.
Glad that you mentioned that, because there are big argument between, hey, you learn by doing already. Do I have to pay you? You just mentioned that. So what is this actually about paying student? Because internship can be between the terms why they haven't graduated, right? And also those who have already just recently graduated. So what are these school of thoughts? Like, what is it on your opinion side?
The way I look at it is I want to bring dignity to the internship discourse. And I don't know if there really is dignity when someone's doing work and you're not paying them to do that work. So that's one thing I look at. The second thing I look at is I want to make sure when I design an internship that it really lights up the intern. I want them excited about it. I think it's hard to get excited when you're not being paid and you still have to pay for your transportation, pay for lunch. Maybe you have a social life after work. These things cost money, and I think it's quite, you know, limiting to not be someone willing to pay them. You're not giving them benefits. There's all sorts of things you're not going to give them. You're just going to pay them for a few months, and then off they go, and they will have learned a lot and enjoyed the time. So in the U.S., 40% of all internships are unpaid. And that's been trending lower, you know, thankfully. But even the White House up until a year and a half ago had unpaid interns. And I just think that's not the way of the future. We need to make sure we're paying them. It's what you would have wanted.
Yeah, 100%. Okay, I think it's go back to when should be the stage of the business that you have started considered having someone to help you?
Early on is fine. I mean, when I had just started my business and having someone come in, but the key is make sure you have a plan. Make sure you think through what you want them to do, but also think through what you want them to get out of it. And talk to them about what they want to get out of the internship. Because if they set their own goals and objectives, they're going to be more committed to achieving those goals and objectives than if you set them for them. So plan ahead and have conversations where there's alignment on goals and objectives so that you can work together. It's not a matter of the stage for me. It could be at any point. You know, it's you're working with someone who's a beginner, someone who's far junior to you over a set period of time. You know, you can do that and incorporate that. And what it'll also do is it'll help you be a better manager, because now you have someone you're sharing your ideas with and you're getting feedback. So you're going to be get better at communicating. You're going to get better at managing people. You're going to have a finger on the pulse of what's out there. So that's what I suggest.
To that note, I have seen many business owners thinking that, okay, I have wear too many hats right now, and I think I need someone. I need some help. And then regardless whether they are an intern or a helper or an assistant, I have seen that they usually complain that it's not really a successful hire or a successful help asking, because at the end of the day, they still have to do it all by themselves anyway. Do you have any tips on delegating the tasks so that they can do it easier and simpler by themselves, since they have never asked for help before?
Invest some time in creating a guiding document, something very clear with instructions, and go through it with your intern right when you start. I do that. I have a 25-page guiding document.
25? And I go
through it with the interns, word for word, the whole thing together, and answer any questions they have about how we do business, who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, all of that. So the key piece that's missing for a lot of folks with their businesses is they don't invest the time up front to really firmly get those goals and objectives, like we mentioned, but also what's our culture? What are we doing? How do we do it? Like a little instruction manual in a way. And this is something that the intern can refer to throughout their time with you and maybe even make improvements to it for the next intern. That's what I recommend. So, and the other key thing is, if you're finding that you aren't getting the results you want from the intern, first point the finger at yourself in terms of being responsible for why it's going the way it goes, and don't put the blame on them. That is crucial. Because you want to make sure that intern's empowered. And the only way to empower yourself is to take responsibility and look at, okay, what was missing with what I was doing? What didn't I do in the setup? What conversations didn't I have? That's where you're going to grow as a manager, entrepreneur, and business leader.
I think sometimes that they, like when you are the owner and you have never managed other people, when you have to turn your position to manage other people and take responsibility to the team member, basically, it's like wearing a different lens that you have to see, oh, it's not only my responsibility for myself anymore, but also other people that affect the customer, the clients, the fulfillment part, or the back end that would able to have the snowball effect whenever they take action as well. So what is it that, is there any other checklist that managers should prepare before they getting started their role?
The key thing for me is you got to make sure that you're clear about what it's going to take. So like when I have interns, I let my wife know, hey, I've got an intern, so I'm going to be a little busier now. I let my kids know, hey, you know, I'm happy to get things done, but it's going to have to be at night and weekends. I won't be available during the day, because if it's just me, fine. But if I have someone I've got to be responsible for, or a team of interns, which is what I do, then I'm going to be a little busier, and I really can't. So one of the key things is to clear your space before the intern shows up. And so doing some work, like a little checklist, what are the things that you've got to do with your business so that you're ready for the intern? Right. So it's okay, is my schedule freed up to do this? Because if you're, let's say, going to be traveling over the next month and you have an intern coming, chances are that's really not going to work too well. They kind of need you early on to get that guidance. Right. So think about ahead of time your own personal checklist of what you need to do for yourself to be ready for them, but also what the company needs to do, what your organization needs to do. Do you have desk space for them? If you're going to do it remote, how are you going to manage them remote, right? Like, you know, they're going to have access to data. Everything's data now, right? How are they going to have access? Passwords, things like that. So that the second checklist, Mutita, is a checklist of yourself and the things that you need to do to be really ready to take care of another human being.
I think the next question would be something very important. How can we know that we have the right fit coming in?
Yeah, what you do is you have to design an interview process where you have a set of questions that you ask that is pointing to the things that are important to you. So for example, one of the questions I always ask is, tell me about the best team you've ever been on. And then I ask, how would the people on that team describe you? And what I'm listening for, are they a team player, right? If they can't think of the best team they've ever been on, or, you know, if they describe them and you can tell it's not authentic, well, you know what, then you know they're not so much a team player. But the other thing that I do that's key is when I set up the interview, you know, I email them and say, hey, we're going to interview on Friday. I'll give them very specific instructions in the email. I'll say, you know, to prepare, watch the video, the first video on my services page on my website. Read through some of our blog entries. I'll say, review my LinkedIn page. And then when I interview them, I'm going to ask them questions about the things I specifically told them to prepare. Now, if they haven't done the preparation work I asked them to, I am not going to hire them. It doesn't get any better, Mutita. If they don't do the work you asked and then you hire them, it just gets worse. So if they didn't do the work you asked, you know, kindly and gently, you know, we're not going to hire them. Okay. We gave them very clear instructions that would take them at most an hour. We gave them a few days to do this. They didn't do it. Either they're not interested or they're lazy or who knows what, but we're not going to go there. That's the first thing. Second, though, is as they're answering the questions, I ask the same questions of everybody. And so I developed an ear for those types of answers. So I'll know, you know, how they are relative to their peers. And I don't kind of deviate and go around. I ask the same questions. So, and some of those questions are very specific. If you didn't watch that video I asked you to watch, but you told me you did, I'll know because my questions will dig in. So I'm looking for people who are honest. I'm looking for folks who will be prepared, who will do the work, who thinks it's important to show up ready for that. And if they can get through my interview, you know, great. Now, one of the things that's really important in my organization is being coachable. So when the interview ends, I say, hey, the interview's over. And if you want feedback on the interview, I'd be happy to give it to you now on one condition. Whatever I tell you, you make sure it empowers you. If it won't empower you to hear the feedback on the interview you just had with me, then our interview is over. Every single one of them says, I'd love to get feedback. And so I give them feedback and I do it in a very professional, direct, empowering way. And I look at how they react. And sometimes they resist my feedback. Well, then I know we're probably not going to be a good fit. Others, though, are really grateful and appreciative and love the feedback and things open up for them and they see stuff. And those are the ones I'll hire because I know we're going to have a great internship together where they're going to do work I've asked them to do and I'm going to give them feedback and they're going to be excited about that feedback and it's going to be a virtuous circle where we all get better.
In my company, this is something that I like, it's in my culture. So apart from my expectation when I do interview, I always ask them that this is something that you are looking for. So in another perspective of like the intern that would like to sign up to be the intern with my company, basically, what is it that they would look for to apply an internship to the company? Should they prepare any type of questions during the interview? Like, what is it that they should prepare themselves for
this type of experience so that it could like pave the way for them in case they would know that they want to work here further or not.
So I say ask worthwhile questions. So if you're a student who's interning, you know, who wants to intern, let's say at your organization, for me to coach them, I would say, ask worthwhile question. What's a worthwhile question? Worthwhile question is just about any question, the answer to which you can't Google. So if I said, where are your headquarters? How many people work there? How much was your revenue? These are all questions you could Google. So those are not worthwhile questions. Here's a worthwhile question. Tell me about the best intern you ever had. What made them so good? Or what's the criteria that you're going to use to assess candidates like me? Or it could be a question like, based on what you've heard from me today, is there anything in my background that you see, you know, you have questions on that I could elaborate on? Okay. But it also could be questions like, could you please tell me what your biggest challenges are right now and how an intern may be able to support you in overcoming those challenges? So you can see those kinds of questions are questions that open things up and have you really think. And I love those kinds of questions because when I'm interviewing somebody, I want to start thinking with them. I don't want to have to sit and answer, do you have training? Yes, we have training. You know, that's not going to really open things up. But if the question is, could you please describe your training and how it is you came to design the training that you have? Well, now that would be really amazing, right? Then I'm going to talk about my training program. We have on-site training, off-site training. I'm going to tell them how long it is, what I hope they get out of it. And then how did I come up with that kind of training? Well, you know, it's, you know, decades of experience seeing people come in to organizations and noticing things like culture not being emphasized enough, you know, too much emphasis on being able to actually do a task versus how does doing that task fit into the organization? How do we communicate with each other? So that's how I came up with how I design my training. A lot of it is, you know, we're straight with our clients. We get in communication when we know something won't be done on time. As soon as we know it won't be done on time, you know, we come with, if there's a problem, we come with two solutions because oftentimes one solution is kind of the easy answer. It doesn't take much thinking. The second solution is going to take some thinking. So we want to make sure we're thinking and we're approaching things in a certain way. So the questions, you know, there's a great Bruce Lee quote, which is, a wise man can learn more from a foolish question than a fool can learn from a wise answer. And so when they ask a question, you know, it really will be either worthwhile or not, and it'll really open up some mutual thinking that'll move us both forward.
Very wise said. Oh, that's already got me thinking already. I'm not sure in the state how it looks like, but over here in Thailand, there are two types of internship. There is a walk-in intern where they're interested, and there wouldn't be like seasonal. Like usually, there would be like summer or rainy season internship, right? Like for 3 months or something. There would be like walk-in. Depends on when they would like to join and prefer to be intern. On the other hand, though, there would be a list from the university that's sending to the selected company, let's say, that they would like to send a list of students to be interned with you. Would it be a similar system over there?
Yes, you would want to have the same process. It shouldn't matter if they're walking in or if it's from a university, because where you want to start is in the same place, which is you want to start by really understanding the student, really understanding what they're interested in, what they want to accomplish, where things can go. You also are going to start from the same place for yourself, which is you're going to make a commitment to have the internship go really well. You have to commit. You're also going to plan and prepare, right? You're going to focus on the process, right? You're going to create a guiding document of some sort. So on your end, it's the same. And on their end, they're beginners. They're here to learn and grow. They want to expand their network. They want to maybe learn some new software tools, right? Maybe understand the terms of art of your work. They cannot do those in the university, right? They can't do those things in the university. There are only certain things they can do in your environment. And that's what they're interested in. So is it the same? In my mind, it is. Now, however, Thai culture, which I love, I actually worked for the, I don't know if it's still around, the Electricity Generating Authority of Thailand. So I worked with them way back in 1994. Yeah. So love Thailand. And I will say, I don't know the culture well enough to know if there are real differences. So please take what I'm saying on this point, you know, as a data point, and think through, map what I'm saying to what you're doing.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, this podcast actually, well, Thai listener is very few percentage, but as I can compare, because I have taken only Thai interns so far, not internationally intern yet. The reason why I asked though, because I just want to let the audience know that don't be so happy when you got reached out for intern, because you still have to vet them anyway. In my opinion, though, onboard anyone into your operation still require a lot of work. And if you get someone that is not in alignment with your day-to-day work, it could be messy and it could cause you headache, right?
Yes. And this is where whenever I bring an intern, I make sure that I'm really clear about what we're doing together. And I want them to know I'm here to empower them. I'm here to have them win. If I can just share a story of that, Mutita, that just happened. It's really incredible.
Please, please.
So I went to Princeton, which is a very good college in the U.S. And I met a new Princeton alum in October. And he said he'd been looking for a job for 4 months, hadn't found anything. And I said, why don't you come and intern with me and let's figure out a way to market the two books I've written, How to Intern Successfully and Intern Management. So he spends a couple of months working on it and he's not making much traction. And I'm using all the principles I speak about, you know, I'm transparency, empathy, intentionality, respect, empowerment, all of these things. I'm really bringing that to him. Well, in January, he says, Rob, I got an idea. Why don't we create an Instagram page called Intern versus Manager, Intern vs. Manager. And on that page, we'll do tips for interns. We'll share what's possible in internships. We'll make it fun and it will make it educational. We'll bring dignity to the internship discourse. So when he shared and he said, by the end of January, we'll have 10,000 followers. And when he mentioned that, I thought, you know, like, half of all Instagram pages have 1,000 followers or less. He's saying he's in 3 weeks, he's going to do, you know, 10,000 followers. Well, he's a smart kid and he was empowered and creative. And at the end of January, he didn't have 10,000 followers. He had 60,000 followers.
Wow.
And it's only grown. So now today there are 70,000 followers. And the page has been around less than 3 months.
And yeah.
And so for me, Mutita, that's what's possible when you really, you know, when you're generous and you discover who the intern is and you empower them and you're really intentional and you've got empathy and, you know, like you're really working, you're thinking together, as I said, and you're creating things. And he'd say, Rob, I need you to do this for this video. I need you to do that. And I'm like, okay, fine. You know, whatever. You know, you want me to, you know, smile. You want me to jump happy. You want me to look disappointed. You know, whatever. Sure. So I would act out all these things. And he put together these really amazing videos that have gone viral. His first video, Mutita, has been viewed 5 million times.
Yeah, I'm just looking at your Instagram right now. It looks amazing.
Yeah, we're really excited about it because we know we can make a difference. And we've got all kinds of intern tips that we're going to put on in the coming days. And, you know, we started off very fun and more educational, but it's a mix and it's very interesting. And what we want to do is kind of shed a light on how people view internships so that we can elevate it and have it evolve. so that everybody wins.
What I hear from this story, from this amazing story, is that intern has no need to be passive. This is something that I have seen, and this amazing story wouldn't happen if intern only waiting for orders, right? If this is something that is like, if you waiting for the managers or the owners to give you what to do, like the change wouldn't happen because it's going to be the same every single day or every single project or quarters that it has been happening. But if you have ideas to make change, you can try.
Absolutely.
If you are proactive, things could happen amazingly. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the orders, they're all in that guiding document. So we handle all the orders in the first couple of days. This is how we do stuff. This is how we do that, this, that. Okay, now you understand that? Great. Now we're going to start the internship. Knowing we've got the basics handled, now let's get creative. Now let's go beyond what's predictable here.
So I know that you have two amazing books. So would you like to talk about it?
Yeah. So the first book, How to Intern Successfully, is intended for high school, college, and graduate students who want to do the best they possibly can in their internships. They want to perform as well as possible. And so a lot of the book is about getting out of your own way. I remember when I was in college, you know, maybe my biggest enemy was myself, what I told myself, how I limited myself. And I know that that's an experience so many of us have when we're trying to figure out who we are and how do we relate to this world? How do we make a difference in this world, especially today? So the book has lots of exercises. It's a real opportunity to discover what you like, what you don't like, what would work for you, and to be empowered as you do your search for an internship. And then as you do the internship, how do you interact? And a lot of it is about, hey, put yourself in your manager's shoes. You know, if you did this, what would the manager say? So the first book, How to Intern Successfully, Insights and Actions to Optimize Your Experience. That book is meant to let the student, you know, get really grounded in who they are and do the best they possibly can in their internship. So that's fine. The second book is the other side. It's from the management side. The second book is Intern Management, Principles for Designing an Exceptional Internship. And this is principles because, you know, you're in Thailand and how you do business may be very different than how we do it in the U.S. or you might be involved in marketing, but I'm involved in finance or manufacturing or consulting, right? So if we have principles to follow, though, and I lay out 9 principles in intern management, and I say if you follow those 9 principles and each chapter is dedicated to a principle, then you will create an exceptional internship. Those 9 principles are transparency, harmony, empathy, buoyancy, respect, intentionality, discovery, generosity, and empowerment. And lay it all out. And then at the very end, I share everything I do. So I say, hey, this is what works for me. You may need to do something differently, but it's just an example. I lay out everything I do in my internship. And that way you have kind of a model if you want to follow to have a great internship, or you could, you know, follow, you know, what you've learned in the chapters and mapped it all to your business and what you're doing. And that intention of that book and both books is to bring dignity to the internship discourse. That's what we're out to do.
Yeah, you can see the book cover insert over here, around here, that we have inserted, and also the link to the Amazon and in the description as well, as well as the show note. So in case anyone want to work with you, like to know more about your work and follow your work, where can they reach out to you then, Robert?
I'm very open. They can reach out to me on LinkedIn, you know, Robert Corey on LinkedIn. And they can also email me at robert@agilerainmakers.com. And then I have a website, robertjcorey.com. So I'm very easy to get in touch with. I do my best to get back to everybody. I love to support people around internships. This is all a passion project for me. You know, I advise high growth companies with Agile Rainmakers. But, you know, it's all the same for me. I'm out to make a difference in business that's lasting, whether it's a company or a college student. You know, it's the same stuff all the time, right? Operate with integrity, et cetera. And that's what I'm out to do. So I'm open. Please reach out. Happy to contribute in whatever way I can.
Really appreciate you sharing all the tips to make internship works today in Get Unstuck Podcast. So thank you so much for your time, Robert, to Get Unstuck Podcast today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
I hope this episode inspires you to get unstuck wherever you are in your journey so that you can have your business that supports your lifestyle. Get a show note at helpyougetunstuck.com today. Start implementing what you have learned. The result of your consistent effort and improvement are worth it because you deserve the freedom to enjoy your life. Speak to you next time, and don't forget to get unstuck.